We're continuing with Jewish history. We're up to the year 3370. And we had learned a lot about Ezra last semester as an intro to the book of Esther. We had learned how Ezra was the chief rabbi, so to speak, in Israel. He had an extraordinary court called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the great assembly. We learned about their 10 institutions. We learned about many things that Ezra instituted. Shmoneh Esrei, our form of blessings. Ezra again gave holiness to the land of Israel with his ascent into the land of Israel. We discussed how Moshe Rabbeinu saw Ezra and was in awe. We discussed how Ezra was the next great leader in certain ways after Moshe Rabbeinu. We discussed the alphabet change. They had a tradition that a great leader would come and change the alphabet of the Torah. We discussed many aspects of Ezra. We're moving forward. We are taught that Ezra was extraordinarily humble, and he was worthy of the Torah being given by him. And Ezra is late in ascending to the land of Israel. The first ascent to the land of Israel, when Koresh gives license to ascend, is without Ezra. Ezra only comes later, and the reason is because his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, was very, very old. Baruch ben Neriah is the disciple of Yirmiyahu. And so the chain of tradition is Yirmiyahu gives the tradition to his disciple Baruch ben Neriah, who gives it to Ezra. And Ezra is learning Torah, so he does not ascend to the land of Israel initially, when everyone else does. He's busy getting his learning together, because in life, if we prepare adequately and have our learning down pat, so then afterwards, when we need that learning in order to function, we'll have it. So Ezra prefers to prepare better and only then ascend. Our sages tell us that part of it was also because in heaven they wanted Yoshua ben Yehotzadak to be the high priest. And if Ezra would have been present, Ezra was a bigger Talmid Chacham, he would have gotten the cut to be Kohen Gadol.
He was a Kohen.
Hmm?
He was a Kohen.
Ezra was a Kohen, yeah. Ezra was the first to start giving public speeches on a high mount. Ezra summons everyone. He sees people are doing business on Shabbos. He says, you have to close your shops on Shabbos. Ezra has them divorce their non-Jewish wives. Ezra is the first one to speak publicly on top of a high mound. And now, what?
When Yoshiyahu reprimanded everybody.
Right, but I guess they didn't do it on a high mound.
Like just on, like he was higher up standing?
Something like that. That's what it sounds like, yeah. There's a book called Masot Binyamin, and he writes that there's a river called Nehar Samora, which is where the Persian Empire began. And over there, 1,500 Jews live over there. And when Ezra left the king, left Jerusalem after King Artaxerxes, Ezra passed away as he was traveling. He was in the middle of a journey when he passed away. And he was buried there by this river called Samora. And next to his grave is a big shul. And on the other side of his grave, the Muslims established a big mosque.
Like with Baruch ben Neriah.
I guess.
Where is this?
He says it's the beginning of where the Persian Empire is, and it's a place called Samera. Samora. I don't know.
Today?
What?
Is that still there today? There is a...
I don't know. I don't know. He writes that Ezra built the city of Ashkelon. We know Ashkelon was a port city in the days of the first Beit HaMikdash. Well, Ezra built it in the days of the second Beit HaMikdash. And in the city of Shinar, Shinar is Babylon. So out in Babylon, in the city of Rekum, Ezra has a shul, a big shul. And in the ancient Haran, that's the part of the ancient Babylon somewhere in Iraq, there was a shul known as the Shul of Ezra. And then there are the mountains of Ararat, which they say that Saddam Hussein knew where they were.
In Turkey, right?
I don't know. So they say that by the mountains of Ararat, there is the Shul of Ezra. And in ancient times, they tell a story that Ezra's grave broke, and the shepherd saw that there was this crack in the stone over Ezra's grave. So he figured that's a great place to go to sleep, in that crack in the stone. So he went to sleep there. And Ezra appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "I am Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the rabbi, I'm buried here. Go tell the Jews that they should take me from this place and bury me in a different place. And if the governor of the city protests, tell him that if he doesn't let the Jews do that, the whole city will die." So the shepherd told the Jews his dream, and they went with the shepherd to the governor, and they told him the story. So the governor said, I don't want to let Ezra go. I want Ezra buried in my locale the way he was. Right after that, plague hit the city, and half the people of the city dropped dead, and no Jew died. So the governor said, "Never mind, take Ezra and bury him where he said." And so they took him out, and when they came to open his grave, they were just starting to open the grave, and people stopped dying. They saw that the plague stopped. So they built on that shrine, they built a very big Beis Medrash, and it says that sometimes at night you could see pillars of fire over his grave, and you could see from a distance of four parsa, that's like
4 kilometers?
Something like that, pretty far away, 12 miles, 16 miles, you can see his grave. There was a custom that people would donate money so that they would buy oil and light lamps in honor of Ezra, just as we learned would be the custom by Yechezkel's grave. Those chairs are dangerous even when you're not leaning on them. So in Muslim language, they used to call the Torah Tuvrad. And Tuvrad is like saying it is Ezra's Torah. And there they'd have his shul, and it had a very nice ark, and inside the ark there was ink and a pen, and the tradition is that ink and that pen were the ink and pen which Ezra used. That with that ink and pen, he wrote the prayers of Israel. And they say that ark must remain closed, because if anyone would look at the Sefer Torah that Ezra wrote, they would drop dead. And they daven their mincha very early. It is one day's journey out of Damascus. It's not far from the mountains of Ararat, which you guys are saying are in Turkey. And Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, people come from far and wide to daven in that shul. And in the city, there's the shul of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, and two shuls that are called the two shuls of Ezra. And in one shul, there is a big red stone that they have on tradition. That's a stone that was brought from the temple, one of the stones of the temple. And engraved in the stone of the wall is the name Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe. Now, our tradition is that Plato received his wisdom from the prophets. Plato went and learned by the prophets, and Socrates received his wisdom from Achitophel and Asaf HaKarchi.
Achitophel?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Did you say that... Oh, I see, okay.